Let me tell you something. If you will embrace these 27 verses with me this morning, embrace them. They will change your life. And you'll be able to write your name, which doesn't really mean a lot. I don't mean that offensively, but it's your heart that will be written here forever. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, good day to you. We are so blessed that you've joined us. Today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from the in-depth study in the Epistle of Romans. Pastor has titled this message, Not Names, Hearts. Now let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans, the 16th chapter. We're going to conclude with one of the greatest chapters in the book of Romans. Now, I know that you may not look at it that way, but the truth is, chapter 16, not only is it the least taught, and not only that, it is also the most neglected chapter in the book of Romans. It's skimmed over, and oh, loved one, listen, that should never, never happen. Did you know that chapter 16 is the most intimate 27 verses of any letter that Paul ever penned? His heart is revealed in this letter deeper than anywhere else. And here we have, oh, I think I counted probably 35 men, women that are at Corinth, where this letter is written with Paul. Others are there in Rome. Romans chapter 16 as you're turning. Now, you know, the thing about all these names is they have been read and they have been mispronounced for the last 2,000 years. Is that okay? Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. The names in chapter 16, they are not important. They're not important at all. What's important is their hearts. And that's exactly what I want you to see and what I want you to embrace this morning. These are the men and women who were so in love with Jesus Christ, they turned their world upside down. They turned their culture upside down. Incredible men and women here. And every time, after all over 30 some odd years now, in the pulpit, in the ministry, there's never been a time, whether private or public, that when I read chapter 16, it so embraces my own personal heart. It does two things to me. Number one, it brings tremendous joy when I read these 27 verses. And the reason that it does so is because this demonstrates to us true Christianity in action. Amen? I mean, oh, I look at it and I say, there's 100% participation. That's a pastor's dream. No, it is true. But it brings sorrow to my heart because when I look at this and I say, oh, because this is what the church today could be. This is what the church today should be. Yet, that's not happening. But it could happen. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. If you will embrace these 27 verses with me this morning, embrace them. They will change your life. And you'll be able to write your name, which doesn't really mean a lot. I don't mean that offensively. But it's your heart that will be written here forever. Amen? And that's what I so want. Listen, I want you to notice in these 27 verses that we're going to cover, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit's divine choice of select words that are going to be used. Let me just read a couple of them. Servant, helper of many, fellow worker, labored, approved, labored much, not names, but hearts. Men and women who knew that Jesus was alive. Men and women who followed the Lord, who would die for the Lord, do anything for the Lord. That's the type of church that we must have today in this rotten culture that's falling apart. Amen? That's what is so needed. Listen, Paul writes in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 58, he says this, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, fixed in your heart, in other words, immovable, always abounding or always doing more in the work of the Lord. Here it comes. Knowing that your labor, that Greek word there translated labor means to toil or labor to the point where you're exhausted. your labor, which is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for Christ is never in vain. It is never wasted. Amen? Oh, listen. No, we're not talking about names this morning in this final chapter, which concludes our study of Romans. No, no. We're talking about men and women's hearts that were so gripped by the Lord Jesus Christ, they would do anything. They would serve him any way they could, no matter the consequences, beginning this morning in verse 1. Paul writes, as he's finishing up this wonderful epistle, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, that's not our sister in the flesh, as you know. It's our sister in the Lord, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that seaport there in Corinth. So he starts off this letter with a woman, an incredible woman. Her name means radiant. Her name means bright light. In other words, she's the light of the world. Amen? She knows she's the light of the world. She's acting like the light of the world. All we know of Phoebe is what God tells us right here in this word. Her name tells us immediately that she's not a Jew, that she's a Gentile, okay? But there is that credible word, servant. The word there is diakonos. We get our word minister or deacon, servant, one who chases, one who stirs up dust. That's what it literally means, because they're always working. She was a servant of the church. How would you like to have that written about you? A servant of the church. Do you know that one word servant right there carries with it a thousand acts of goodness and kindness toward those others, about people whose life was changed because of this woman, because she truly was the light. She truly walked in the light. She truly loved other people. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that this first century woman here, do you think that she probably had time constraints and problems and issues in her life? Just like we do. But you know what she did? Regardless of whatever she faced, boy, listen, she served Jesus, which means she was not a spectator. She was a participator in the body of Christ, amen? Which is so needed today. Not a name, oh, but her heart. Oh, look at that and say, Lord, she's so wonderful. Look at verse 2, and it continues. Paul says, oh, that you may receive her, meaning the people in Rome, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she has been a helper of what? Many. And Paul then includes himself. He says, listen, I'm personally indebted to this one that's a bright light there in this city. I'm indebted to her. Listen, radiant Phoebe. You know what I mean? She was a woman, the first woman listed in his goodbye chapter, that she could be trusted. Do you know what God did for her? Paul put in her possession what I call the Magna Carta of the New Testament, or literally the greatest book written in the Bible, the book of Romans. He placed it into her hands. She put it under her robe. She transported it all the way to Rome. I would say this is a woman that you could truly trust. Amen? Not only that, if you ever did a study in the Bible, oh, how many women, they played such a great and vital role all through the body of Christ. And it's my prayer that the women of this church, every woman that belongs here to Calvary Chapel, matter of fact, every man that belongs to Calvary Chapel, follow her example. Be a servant to the church. That's what this is all about. And then it says, look how it says, may we receive her now in a manner worthy of the saints. What does that mean? It's about how we embrace one another. How are we as believers, how are we to receive or welcome, accept one another? Remember our last study 3 or 4 weeks ago, Romans 15:7, where the Bible teaches us, therefore receive one another, tells us how, as Christ Jesus also received us to the glory of God. We are to welcome each other just as if we were welcoming our Lord himself. You know what that is? It's this right here is love. You know what the Romans said about the Christians? They said this, oh my, how they love one another. Love never fails, amen? You know why that love was so demonstrated back then in Paul's day? Not so much demonstrated today, but it is being demonstrated here in Jesus' name. It's because they did something. You see, they truly embraced what? The new commandment that Jesus gave them in John 13, 34, and 35. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "A new commandment I give unto you." That's unto us as well. "That ye love one another." And then the new part is, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." And he says, "By this the whole world will know that you are my disciples." What a church. Great people of God. Not their names. We'll forget their names, but we'll never forget their hearts in this chapter. Look at verse 3. Look at this couple here. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." Paul says, "My fellow workers in Christ Jesus." You know who they were. Remember, they lived in Italy, Pontus, I believe. But then Claudius, who was the emperor at that time over Rome, what did he do? He expelled all of the Jews out of the empire and sent them running. They ended up in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and that is where they met Paul. Remember, they were tent makers by trade. Paul was a tent maker by trade. Man, they became Paul's closest friends. A husband and wife team. Isn't it wonderful to see a husband and wife team serving, working for the Lord in the ministry? That's a great thing. They had one heart. They were one flesh. And they had absolutely one in labor for Jesus Christ. But more than that, look what these fellow workers did in verse 4. Talking about Priscilla and Aquila, who risk their own necks, Paul says, for my life. Literally, that would read, they placed their necks under the axe for me. They saved me, in other words. To whom not only I give thanks. Oh, I am thankful, Paul says, for them. But watch this, don't miss this. But also, how many of the churches of the Gentiles give thanks? All of them. Can you imagine being the type of people that every church that was established in the Gentile areas, every church that I know them, and man, do I give thanks for them. Likewise, greet the church that is in Priscilla and Aquila's house or their home. Now listen, we're not told how or how many times they saved the life of Paul from death, but what we do know, they were great pastors, they were great missionaries, and they had a the church was in their house. See, back then, you know, in the first century there, what did they do? They met in homes. They didn't have buildings to meet in. That didn't take place until the third century, you know, where they started meeting in buildings like we're in today. You know, maybe you never know what's going to happen. We, with the persecution that's coming against the church, one day we might have to start meeting in homes again. You know what I mean? We don't know. But God knows, amen? Church tradition teaches us Priscilla and Aquila on July 8th, 60-something A.D., could be 66, 68, 69, right in that time frame that they were imprisoned and they were led out behind the wall, and as they were both beheaded together for Christ Jesus. They died together. They served together. They loved the Lord. You will meet this couple in heaven one day. Think of that. Amen. Now look at verse 5 again. "Greet my beloved," or my loved ones, "Epaenetus." Isn't that great that I did that right? That means praiseworthy. "Who is the first fruits of Acacia to Christ," meaning that was Paul's first convert there in Asia. "And greet Mary, who labored much for us." In other words, literally wore herself out for the church of Christians in that city. Now, that's all we know of Mary of Rome. We don't know anything about her. That's all God told us. You know what? And I know this, some of you who labor here, and you know, I don't know all that you do for the Lord. I don't see it. I'm confined, but you're out there doing your job. You're working, you're serving, you're loving, you're greeting, you're hugging people, you're helping with the children, you're serving in different fellowships, whatever you're doing. I don't get to see all that. And we didn't get to see all that Mary did, all the things she did for the churches. But may I tell you something? You may not get the thanks that you deserve, or anyone may never tell you thank you. But I'll tell you this, God will never forget what you have done for him. Amen. Listen, Mary is forgotten. We know nothing about her, but you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 6:10? "For God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love that you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Listen, You know, isn't it amazing that God says, I'm never going to forget Mary. I'm never going to forget what you've done. And you know what? God's not ever going to forget what you've done. If you're serving the Lord in this place, he's not ever going to forget that. Isn't it amazing that God, he says, I will forgive your sins. I'll forget your sins. I'll put your sins as far as the east is from the west. I'll never remember them again, but I'll never, never forget what you have done for my name. Jesus said, you know, when you have done it unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. God will never forget that. Oh, to be a servant of the Lord. That, you know, God says, I'm never going to forget it for all eternity. I mean, what if God just put us up on his knee like a father would and say, you just blessed me that time that you did that for that person. You know what I mean? Do you expect heaven to be a boring place? No. Oh, no. Oh, listen. God is so good. Look at verse 7 before I get carried away to do something else. It says, and greet Andronicus, that word means man of victory, and Junia, which means youthful, my countrymen, meaning they were probably Jews, not Paul's relatives, and my fellow prisoners who are, I've watched this now, who are of note among the apostles. In other words, they were so outstanding in their service for the Lord that even every apostle knew it and even knew them personally. It says, who also were in Christ Jesus before me. So think about it. That couple shared a prison cell with Paul. There he was. You know, in other words, for Jesus' sake, they were in prison. But not only that, they came to the Lord before Paul did, which might mean, I'm not saying it happened, it might mean that they knew Paul when Paul, or was Saul when he was persecuting the church. Paul, he could have been persecuting them, but here they're all together. Verse 8, it says, and Amplius, that means large, it says, Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. And greet Urbanus, that's a cool word, Urbanus. I like that word. You know what it means? It means a person of the city, or a polite person of the city. In other words, when I was a little boy, we would call people city slickers. You remember that? Never mind. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Oh, this is a good one. And Stachys. I love that word. Stachys. You know, if you want to name your next child, there it is. Stachys. You know what that means? Ear of corn. Oh, yeah. Stachys. Yeah. And not only that, look at this one. And Apelles, it says, greet Apelles. Approved in Christ, and greet those of the household of Aristobulus that could be possibly the grandson of Herod the Great, or maybe the brother even of Herod Agrippa. We don't know, but it might be. I love that though. Apelles, the approved. You know what that means? Approved means tested and tried. He passed the test. He was approved in the face of God and in the face of men. Boy, I'll tell you what a blessing that is. Amen. In other words, he said, yes, okay, but I made it. I love that. He is the approved. You know, the Bible says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, tried, and tested, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 11, greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. There's two good names. If you're looking for girls' names, there you go. Although it means dainty and delicate. That's what those words, dainty, you know. Or delicate is Tryphena, dainty is Trophusa. And look what they've done. Who, what? Labored. They labored in the Lord. They were servants. It says, and greet the beloved Persis. That means she was a Persian woman. And look what happened. Who labored much in the Lord. Now listen, Tryphena and Tryphosa. It is believed that they were probably sisters, but I want you to notice something. What these three ladies, these sisters in the Lord, what were they noted for? They not for being delicate, not for being dainty, not because one was a Persian. That's what they were not noted for at all. These three women, full of the Holy Spirit of God, visiting hospitals perhaps, laying hands upon the sick, you know, whatever was needed, visiting the orphans, helping people. It says they labored much. And did you notice something about Persis? It says Persis, Paul didn't say Persis is my beloved. He said Persis the beloved, meaning that everyone in the church loved this woman. They adored this woman. She must have been really an incredible person. But you know what I see about these three more than anything else? Is that these three women, they weren't looking for a church to say, well, I'm looking for a church, you know, I have to have a place that's, they have to serve me. They have to cater to me. The pastor has to be young. Are you saying I'm not young? Hallelujah. No, listen. Or I like this kind of music. No. Look, they didn't do that. They weren't looking for a church. You serve me. You meet all of my needs. No. Loved one, listen. They said they labored for the church. They stepped out and said, I'm going to take care of whatever the needs are. They labored with the Apostle Paul. In verse 13, guess what? They even had a Texan with them. Watch this. And Rufus, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. No. Well, it's not that Rufus is a great Texas name or anything, but you know what Rufus means. It means red. Hello, red. I mean, if you're from Texas, that's a common name. Well, I guess everybody here is from California, so never mind. No, look, it says, greet Red, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Listen, Rufus the chosen. That's not meaning, you know, chosen means the elect. That's not what that says. It's not Red the elect, it's Red the select. In other words, they're saying, oh man, greet Rufus because this man is an extraordinary person who walks in deep love, who works hard in the church. That's what this is meaning here. And did you know that Rufus could have been, might have been, and I believe he probably was, the son of Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross of Christ up the hill for our Lord. Remember him? Yeah, and you say, Bill, why do you say that? Well, he's mentioned there in Mark 15, 21. Not only that, it says that Rufus's mom is the wife, of course, of Simon of Cyrene, if that's true, that she treated Paul the apostle, took him in and embraced him as if he were her son. She was his mom. If that is true, if Rufus really is the son of Simon of Cyrene, because he was there whenever the cross was laid upon his daddy, Simon. Can you imagine the stories that he shared with Paul? You know, these are real people. But you know what's more real to me is their hearts. It's not about names. It's about their hearts. And look at verse 14. And Asyncritus, incomparable. And the next one means burning. And Hermas means mercury. And the next one means paternal. And Hermes again. And brethren that are with them. And greet Philologos. That means the lover of the word. Lover of the word of God. Julia. That means soft hair. And the next one, Nereus. That means lumpy. How would you like to have that name? Hey, lumpy. That's better than being dumpy. You know what I'm saying? And his sister, and Olympias, that means heavenly, and all the saints with them greet one another with a holy kiss. Isn't that great? The churches of Christ greet you. Now listen very carefully. Yes, we're into the roll call. The names are gone. We know they're in heaven, okay? But listen, these are the ones that labored for the Lord with Paul. Paul knew each and every one of them by name. He prayed for them. They were friends. They were close in their hearts. They believed with all of their heart in serving Christ Jesus. And they are the ones that changed their culture. And this culture today must be changed. It's darker than it has ever been. And the only people on earth that can change it are those who labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not sit in the pew, but labor for the Lord. Listen, they turned their world upside down. And boy, does this one need to be done the same way. Now, look at verse 17, this incredible warning by Paul. It says, now I urge you, brethren, note, that word note is very important because it literally means in the Greek, it means to mark or continually keep your eye on those who cause divisions or discords and offenses, those a stumbling block, if you will, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them, stay away from them. For those who are such who, watch this, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve self. They don't serve God or the church. It says, but their own belly, that means the appetites of whatever their flesh desires might be, their own belly, and by smooth words, flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple.
We are out of time for today, but Pastor Bill concludes this message on tomorrow's program. so please join us again. May the Lord bless you today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.